Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm delighted to have Michelle Chappell as my guest for today's show. Michelle is a singer-songwriter with a PhD in psychology. Today we'll be talking about her new CD, Call Me Crazy, and you'll get to hear a song from it during the show. Join us for 30 minutes of inspiration to go for your dreams and encouragement to live your music in your own unique ways. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am so happy to have you back on the show. I had so much fun talking with you when you were on last year.
I remember that. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it just... You inspire me, and you always do when I see your posts on Facebook anyway, and when I listen to your songs. I love listening to your songs that I have, and I'm so excited to talk to you about your new album that's coming out. And yeah, I love the title, Call Me Crazy. I mean, I just love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you that title came from, you mentioned that I have a PhD in psychology, and it came from the day I told my mom I didn't want to be a professor anymore and I wanted to be a rock star, and she called me crazy, pretty much.
Oh.
And so that title comes from honoring that exchange between her and I.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that that's part of what you have to do, be willing to do, though, to live your music, really, is to, and I don't mean, when I say live your music, obviously, I don't mean just music. It means to do what you feel called to do, what is your true heart's desire. It's
exactly
scary. And sometimes people think you're crazy because they don't get it. They don't understand why you want to do it. They don't understand how you're going to do it. They don't even
You're
believe.
So right. I know.
Yeah.
It takes a lot
yeah.
of courage, I think, you know, and you have to sort of, you have to follow your own heart even when other people aren't cheering you on necessarily. You know, my mom is one of my biggest fans now, but only recently, only in the last few years. I mean, this is my 8th CD, you know, so it took her a while to come around, but she did. And I think, you know, if you just keep believing in it somehow, you know, just keep focused. I mean, you do it because you love it. You do it because you have passion for it. You do it because it's part of who you are. And even though maybe other people don't see that, it doesn't mean that it's not true about you. And I think that we're pressured, you know, to conform and buy the latest, you know, outfits, fashion, gadgets, what have you, and pretty much just do what we're told and be alike and behave, you know. And I think part of, you know, honoring what makes you different, it means that you're saying, maybe I don't want to behave exactly according to your rules. I want to be who I am, not in a sort of, you know, belligerent way, but just calmly and lovingly following your calling. You know, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It's weird. Sometimes you just actually have to make a break for it.
Yeah, and,
to
and
be
the
able to
thing
do it.
I found for me is that it's more than one thing I feel called to do. And sometimes, you know, you'll go from one thing and then you'll be doing that, and then the next thing going, oh, all of a sudden I feel called to do this. You know, I originally felt called to be a mom. I felt called to write my book, and then I felt called to start this show. And then, you know, I had always wanted to sing, and I was so afraid to do it, though. That was the thing that I was the most scared to admit that I wanted to do.
Yeah, I saw that you did that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is scary to sing, even for people who have been doing it for a long time, because I think there's something, at least for me, there's something very intimate about you opening your voice, your mouth, and letting music flow through it. I think it's because it connects to your heart and your soul. I think sometimes when we're speaking to each other, we can defend ourselves, have a little bit of a shield up with our intellect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you sing, it's not there. Singing is not an intellectual thing, you know, thing to do.
Well, the thing about singing for me that's really interesting, because I've thought about this for a long time, and I've written about it in my morning pages for years. And the thing is, though, is that I've never wanted to be the rock star, you know. I never wanted to do it to be famous. I just wanted to do it because it gave me joy. And unfortunately, my grandmother I'd overheard my grandmother tell my mom when I was 12 that I should forget about singing, and she was so definite that I believed her.
Oh, and yeah, that's so common. I also teach creativity workshops, as I think you know, and we get shut down. I think that's a lot of reasons. That's one of the biggest reasons why we don't follow our callings, you know, is because somebody shuts us down early in life. And they may do it on purpose. They may do it unconsciously, but it's parents, it's teachers. And sometimes there's a lot of shame involved. You know, you sort of get shamed for not being good at something or, you know, and then to bring that out later, that's also part of the vulnerability, you know, is the shame that's attached to it because somebody told you you weren't good or you shouldn't do it. Somebody that you trusted, an authority figure. Yeah, it takes a lot of courage, actually. And so I salute you.
The thing is, looking back on it, I mean, she's been gone for a lot of years, and so I'm never going to be able to ask her. But the thing is, what I realized later is she wanted me to be an artist. She wanted me to paint with oil paints like her, which I didn't. That just wasn't something I felt called to do. And
yeah,
she wanted
yeah,
me to
that's
do
a good
that.
Point.
So, I mean, a lot of it was just she didn't want me to be doing something that was what she didn't want me to do.
Yep. There it is. That's that conformity, that pressure to conform and do as told. Yep.
Right.
I
and
know.
To live other people's dreams for
lives.
Them, I think.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't get as far in it as she hoped and maybe wanted you to take it further than she could or something.
A lot of times people, I think you're right, because I think a lot of times people want to do something and they are so excited about it that they think that everybody else should want to do
it. Else's. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But we're
That's
all different.
Very true. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's, I think I don't have children myself, but I've certainly worked with younger people. And, you know, it's interesting sometimes when in my workshops when I see a parent, I have done workshops with parents and their kids, the disconnect between the way the parent looks at the child. And I mean, just real quick, I remember there was one girl, she was 14, and I could tell that her, and they told me on the side that they thought she wasn't very smart, that, you know, she was the dumb one in the family kind of thing. They didn't say that exactly, but that's what I saw was going on. And then when I started the workshop, the first thing she did was make a beeline for me and ask me, how did I get my start being a singer, and just all kinds of advice because she wanted to be one. And I realized this girl is very smart. She was very smart. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. It just wasn't the way, you know, they didn't see her. They saw somebody else they wanted her to be, and she wasn't being that. And therefore, she, you know what I'm saying? She actually was
totally.
She might have not been academically smart, but she knew who she was. She was smart. So I told her so, and she felt so much better. Her parents
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
but, you know, but you have to do that. Yeah.
Well, there's different ways to be smart. And
exactly.
Yeah, you know, that just kills me, you know, when people try to put people into these little slots, and especially with children. We never wanted to do that with our son, so we wanted to make sure that he tried things and did things because they made him feel alive, not because it was practical.
Yeah.
A lot of times
Good
the practical
for you.
Things, the practical things are a lot of times the ones that make you feel like you're not even alive at all, or like you're having a near-life experience instead of a real-life experience.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, good for you. I think that takes a lot of courage too.
Well, thank you. But so back to you. How come, you went from a PhD in psychology from Princeton to getting into music. So why did you do that? And tell us just a little bit about how that happened, because I think it can help our listeners.
Well, you know, the thing was, is I used to sing when I was a little girl, and I used to play pianos. Like, I walk up to them and play them like I was classically trained. Like, this, I'm talking age 4 and 5. I don't know how that happened, but nobody noticed, and nobody seemed to really care. And so I literally forgot all about it. And my parents, I think it was important to them that I do well in school, and so I did. And so I kind of got the message to be the smart girl, and I was smart. I was, you know, academically very smart. And so But I knew something was amiss, so I think that's why I decided to study psychology, you know. So there I am at Princeton studying psychology, and I start to wake up to the fact that there's music in me. I'll just give you a really brief story, but it was interesting. Somebody came to give a talk on music perception, and they did an experiment with us, and they played two melodies, and we had to say whether they were the same or different. And they did this maybe 50 times or something like that. And I remember thinking it was so simple. You know, it's just like, same, you know, different. I just thought, this is just what? And then afterwards, we tallied up our scores, and I had outscored everybody in the room, and including the dean in our department who had studied violin, classical violin, for 10 years. And they're all looking at me like, what are you doing here? And I just started to wake up to, you know, the fact that I was good at music. I just had sort of buried it so deep because nobody really seemed to want me to do it, you know. And so I started to make the breakthrough when I was at Princeton, but I went ahead and got the PhD and I started teaching. And after a few years of telling my students, follow your heart, whenever they asked me for advice, I just realized one day, I really want to follow
her heart.
Exactly, you know, and so that's when I decided to really take it seriously. And so I was a full-time professor at Santa Clara University at the time, and I was tenure track, and I quit, and I decided to follow it. And first I did music, played music at night and, you know, taught during the day, and that was kind of cool. Students would come to my shows. It was very interesting, and then I finally got courageous, I guess, enough to quit entirely, and then I started teaching part-time at UCSC while I did music full-time, and they were so wonderful and supportive of me, so that when I finally did get my first record deal, it was in South Africa, of all places, and so I was able to go there for a year and tour and support the CD and come back, and I still had a job, which, you know, I felt very, talk
so
about angels.
Cool.
I know,
so cool.
I know, and so
and
I'm so...
It really points out, though, the passion path of development, about how you listen to your heart and you started letting yourself do it, and then it just kept growing, and you didn't just quit your day job immediately. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I skipped that part over, but yeah, no, I couldn't, right? Because, I mean, for one thing, I didn't even know if I was any good at it, really, you know? I needed to give it a shot. I needed to try some songs out and record a little bit and go to clubs and coffee shops and stuff and just see how people reacted. I could have been maybe not that good at it, and in some ways I wasn't, you know. I mean, you have to, just because you're born with a gift, it doesn't mean that you don't need to develop it. You know, it really, you have to kind of do both, recognize what the gift is and then boost it, you know. So yeah, I didn't, I mean, and in fact, I act like I don't even, you know, that doesn't matter anymore. And in fact, I'm sure you feel that with all that you do. It's a lifelong desire, right, to get better and better at the things that you have passion for. You never stop wanting to grow. And I think that's why it fills you with so much life.
And actually practicing singing, practicing doing any of them is joyful if it's something that it's from your heart. If it's not something that somebody told you, you, quote, should do.
Exactly.
If it's just something you're doing because it gives you joy, then practicing is fun.
That's right. That's right. You know, there's research. I'm not off topic, even though it may sound like I am. There's research that shows that entrepreneurs who start businesses around passions or side projects are ultimately more successful than those who don't. And the reason for it is because, you know, they get off to a slower start often, but they persevere because they do it for the passion and not the money so much. So they hang in there longer. Yeah. So it makes sense if you think about it. It's you know, because you're saying you're encouraging your son to follow his passion, but in a way it's actually oddly a practical thing to do, research shows, because you're more likely to succeed if your heart's in it.
So true, yeah. And he knew he wanted to get a degree in film production and film editing.
Cool.
He did. 4 years
cool.
at Chapman University. He got a merit scholarship for half tuition for the 4 years, graduated in the 4 years. Actually, 4 years ago he graduated, and he's been working in the film business. Well, actually,
that's
TV.
So cool.
Doing
that's
film
awesome.
Editing. So, yeah.
That is so awesome. That's so I love it. That's
Yeah,
see?
And he also sings. He also plays music, and he and my husband Dudley have written and performed songs together. They've recorded albums together with Robert Barry and
cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. But we need to get back to you. And speaking of that, we have a song that I really want to have time to play, and I love the title of it, Michelle, Your Own Happy Ending. It just reading that and hearing it makes me feel happy.
Doesn't it give you hope?
Yeah,
and I have
that's really what I want for everybody is, and I think you do too, is for them to have their own happy ending.
Exactly. And, you know, I have to say that title, I co-wrote that song with John Cirillo, and he's the one that came up with the title. Well, you know where we actually got that title? We were watching a movie together, a chick flick of all
mm-hmm.
things, but one of the characters said something, not exactly that quote, but something like it, and we just looked at each other and went, your own happy ending, you know? But he kind of is the one that said, well, this is a good title to write a song around. Yeah, I love that title, too. You read it, and it just makes you feel like, yeah, maybe I can do it. And there's a generosity of spirit. You know, I really like it, too, I have to say. I just wanted to say that the song actually ties in well to what we've been talking about, because
uh-huh.
it's about how people have unique creative gifts, you know, and we're really here, I think, to discover what they are. But it can be scary. It can be a lonely journey. It can sometimes feel like you're, you know, a burden to have these gifts, especially when the people around you don't, you know, support you. And so the song is really cheering you on.
Cool. You know, I want to talk to you more about it after I play it. So I'm going to play the song. It's only 2 minutes and 51 seconds, and I'm going to play it now, and then we can talk about it after.
Okay, great.
In a technicolor world where you feel black and white, alone and lost on the yellow brick road, and the gifts that you were given stuff down deep inside always feels like a heavy load. The people that surround you put you down and try to drown you, but they don't see your spirit like I do. I know you're special. Find that place where you belong. We'll set out on that highway, and you'll find you're not alone. What makes you different is what makes you strong.
Michelle, I just love that.
Thank you. I was smiling while I was listening to
it. I was smiling the whole time I was listening to it, and I want to hear it over and over and over again. You know, it's definitely one I'm going to want to have in my car on a playlist.
Oh, so, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for writing it and singing it.
Well, yeah, well, I just really, you know, it's so funny because I just could never stop being the teacher, you know, and the psychologist and the singer, mm-hmm. and I kind of wanted to bring it all together, and,
right.
you know, that's what I'm kind of trying to do in that song and a lot of my songs these days. They're not just, I love music, and music in and of itself is transformative, and I think if you add a positive message that gives some pointers in it, you know, like,
yeah,
because I'm a teacher, you know, then
right.
maybe somebody listening will remember, oh, yeah, I used to play the piano when I was 5 years old, like I was classically trained. What happened with that? You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to do there, just spark
yeah.
it a little bit. So hopefully
yeah.
it does that.
Yeah, whether it's music or art or dance or writing or cooking or even being a doctor or something that you feel
exactly.
called to do, but just, you know, whatever it is, and to do it creatively.
Yes, do it your way, I think.
Yeah.
I think we all have our own particular unique slants on life, and I think we're the most creative when we honor those, you know, our own unique way of looking at things, and that, again, takes courage. It's so funny. The whole thing takes courage, but I think when you start doing it, as you have also for many years, you just, like
mm-hmm.
you said, you feel so much joy that
yeah.
it's almost like it takes the fear away. It's almost like you just have to take a step towards it or something, you know, even though you're scared, feel the fear and do it anyway kind of slogan, you know, and you start stepping into it. And, yeah, it's scary sometimes, but there is that joy because it's
well,
who you are.
Well, and, you know, in my book I wrote about this and that the Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I love that book. I'm so thankful that I read it a long time ago, and I do love it and recommend it. But I was also realizing that if it's something exciting, if I say to myself, feel the excitement and do it anyway, it helps me remember that, oh, this is something I'm excited about doing, not just something that's going to hurt me physically
or someone else
wants me to do.
Yeah, and can I tell you something? I can't help it. As a psychologist, I can tell you that what's going on physiologically when you feel fear, you know, your pupils dilate, you breathe strong, the blood goes to your limbs. It's also the way you feel when you're excited. And there's a lot of research that shows, at least from the past, when I used to study this stuff, that you can have this. It's really emotions. A lot of what they are is what you label them. So you could, I think what you're doing is smart. You could switch fear for excitement because it's really the same physiological response. It's true. You're just kind of recoding what it means for you. That's really actually quite brilliant. Yay.
Well, thank you.
I give you an A+ for that. That's really cool.
Hey, boy, it's helped me so many times, you know. I mean, even when I did my first Blog Talk Radio show, feel excitement and do it anyway, Margo.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, and good for you. I'm sure that was scary. I'm sure, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how that could be.
Well, okay, you know, the time is just flying by, and I just wanted to mention that next week on June 1st, my guest is going to be another musician, Brett Boyd. He's from here in Marin, and we're going to be talking about the various ways he's living his music during the show, including teaching a guitar school rocks. He teaches kids to play guitar and do music. And you can, yeah, and people can sign up for my newsletters at margojoydenader.com and get information about the shows. And I just want everybody out there to think about how they'd answer these questions while we finish talking. So what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, Michelle, you know, I so much appreciate all you're doing to help so many people out there live their music. And to be who
Well, I'm you too. I mean, you're doing your bit. I appreciate what you're doing as well.
Oh, thank you. You know, you've got a CD release party coming up, and that's on, what is it, June 5th?
June 5th at Don Quixote's in Felton, starting at 7 p.m. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, I got a little derailed from making that CD. It ended up taking me a lot longer than it normally does because my dad died and two of my cats died. They were brothers. I had one for 18 years and one for 16.
I saw that on Facebook.
It's something, yeah, and a couple other losses, and a friend of mine died, and it's funny how much, you know, losing loved ones and it can really derail you from your dreams. And one of the reasons why it's so important for me to do this part, CD release party, you know, and get back on the horse, I guess, is because it happens, right? It happens to all of us. Even when you do all that work to find that gift or, you know, the passion that you have, sometimes you get derailed from it. And I think it's just so important to remember, even if it takes you 5 years like it did me, you know, it's okay. You can just get back on. Just,
you know,
it's
okay. Totally okay. And I'm, the older I get, the more I believe the saying that everything happens in divine timing. And divine timing and our timing are not the same.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know all the reasons why, but it just wasn't in alignment yet. And now it is. And just it feels like a perfect time to me for you to be releasing it. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a lot more successful coming out now than it would have 5 years ago.
Possibly so.
People.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a different person. So, in a good way. Yeah, so there's good energy behind it.
Yeah. Well, I will put that and also the other things that you're going to be doing in my newsletter so that people can check that out and hopefully go down and see you. I wish we were closer so that we could be there for that opening. And I really enjoyed it the time that my brother Dwayne and I went down to see you and Anna Taylor down there. And
I remember that. That was fun. That was really cool.
Yeah, we really enjoyed being there, and it just was a great experience. It's a cool place. It's quite a hike to get there from Marin County, but it's a really cool place, and I'm really glad that we did do that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I remember.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. Is there something, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I think something that's been on my mind lately, and I'll just throw it out at you too, but I've been thinking a lot, you know, like when I became a singer, I thought that I would no longer be a teacher. And I even remember when I was in South Africa, one of the DJs asked me, will you ever go back to teaching? And I said, no, of course not. I've got a song on the radio here. But I did. And I think that you said it right at the beginning. I think people have more than one calling often. And I think honoring them. And I think sometimes they overlap, you know, like a Venn diagram, you know, two circles that overlap.
Exactly.
And you've got that.
Yeah,
kind of,
they can overlap.
Yeah. And I think I'm realizing as I get older that I'm happiest when I'm, you know, like I'm doing music, but I'm also I'm teaching. So I think I'm just putting it out there for listeners. You know, you might have something like that too. You never know. There's a really cool intersection between different parts of who you are. Just take a look at what that might be, you know, because it could be for me, it turned out being writing songs that teach people that have kind of a little bit of psychology in them. I didn't know that you could even do that. I mean, I didn't start out with that mission, but it kind of makes sense, you know? So I think everybody
it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like having affirmations to music and good reminders to music, because you can listen to songs over and over again and you can sing along with them as well.
And they touch your heart, and they, you know, and sometimes if they're danceable, you move to them, and I think it's like when you go to a church, they have a sermon, but they also have music, and I think it's because it takes the message deeper, and
it connects with your heart, like you said.
But I think everybody's got something like that, so I just throw it out there for listeners to think about what that might
be willing
you know?
To try different things. Just be willing to try things and see what feels right.
Exactly. Experiment.
Yeah, thank you so much for being my guest today and for creating your music, being you, for inspiring people to go for their dreams. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really love talking to you.
Oh, I love talking to you too. Oh, thank you everyone for listening, and I will be back next week. Thanks again, Michelle. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.